you go.
I've got y'all fired up.
I love you, brother.
Brother Mark was saying yesterday how much that he loved and appreciated these preachers. And I told him not to forget that we love him.
Yeah.
As he said about introductions, and he wasn't very good at it. I'm not very good at saying what I have in my heart and love to say. But I appreciate that message.
Amen.
We don't realize what opportunity we have in the fellowship and the things we have in Christ Jesus. I do thank you for this privilege. I know it's all of God's grace, but you're instruments. And I told Brother Horn the other night, we was talking going to the motel, and I said, well, the thing that I have that don't understand is why they keep inviting me back. But we sure do appreciate it. I don't know what more I could say. We've heard good preaching. We've had good fellowship.
Amen. Right.
And we trusted all that we have said and done that the worship has been pleasing to the Lord.
Amen.
I thought of Brother Parks, and I didn't know that I'd be the one to close out, but I've looked at the program, and you know, they used to say these young preachers, well, I'm the old man now, because if I calculated right, I'm the oldest ones on the program this year. And I can remember back, and I appreciate these younger preachers that you had on the program. And I thank the Lord for them and what they're doing now. And the Lord's been good to me. I was born in 1939. I was born again in 1958. He called me to preach in 68. And you know something? I feel like I know less now than I did then.
Yeah.
So
what you mean?
You'll have to tolerate. But as we close, after you turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, and I'll try to get back to normal here. We have heard, as we have said, and we've heard good preaching. We've had we began with God is able, and we've had all those that were in between, and now the opportunity and the fellowship and the responsibilities that we have. As I thought about the closing of this, I thought, and I do this as exhortation, encouragement, but let's not forget, as churches, what we've been commissioned to do. Preach the gospel.
Yeah.
We know these familiar verses here in Mark chapter 16. When Jesus Christ said in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I don't say the things in as an introduction as to be critical, but I do find that, and maybe it's because that I'm getting older. As I say that, I think back at the Brother Roy Mitchell. Some of you may know Brother Mitchell. The first time I ever heard Brother Mitchell preached, he preached on why Jesus Christ is precious to me. I heard him for several years, and the last, in all but in between, and the last time I heard him, he preached why Jesus Christ is precious to me. You think back at Brother Malone.
Yeah.
You know, well, I can't see in what he preached, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We heard about Brother Parks.
Yeah.
And Brother Parks, most of the time when he concluded, it was about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so I'm not trying to be critical, but the thing that I see in my older age, in our younger men and older alike, I'm talking about us preachers, we have a tendency to, and don't, I'm saying these things that you will not misunderstand them. I believe we need the meat of God's Word.
Yeah.
And I'll probably repeat some of this as I normally do, but when there's things that needs to be taught, I understand that. But I kind of believe that we are so involved in getting maybe a subject or something that's on our mind that we have sort of got away from preaching the gospel. We have said, well, everyone knows that, and everyone does not know that. And so I'm not trying to be critical in those things that we shall say, but I just wonder if we're doing what we've been commissioned to do. I just wonder that the things that transpire, and I know today, we got a lot of subjects. And I'm saying that because when I first started to preach, I never heard a sermon on homosexuality.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying. There are subjects today that we preach on that I never heard those things back then. But there are tendencies that today that we have to inform the people and keep them to know what's going on.
Amen.
But let us not forget about the commission that we've been given about preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
May God help us to realize that there's men, women, boys and girls that are lost. They're dead in trespasses and sin. And we have been commissioned to give them the good news of salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We ought not be hiding behind the doctrines of grace. And I'll try to bring some of this out if you'll bear with me. There is a tendency to do that. There's no one that believes in the doctrines of grace more than we do. And we believe that man is totally depraved. And we believe that in the unconditional election and so forth, and the limited atonement, we could go on. We believe those things.
Yeah.
But I'll probably repeat it again, but we sort of get the cart before the horse, and we're trying to teach people certain things that they do not have the ability to even understand.
Yeah.
Because I believe, as Brother Short brought out, Brother, there must be a work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of an individual. He must give him the understanding or the desire to know those things. But we still have the responsibility to take the Word of God to all the world.
Amen. Amen.
Now, if I've ever failed, and I've failed in many, many, many things, but if I've ever failed in anything, it's been in this. How many times have we talked to people and we knew that they were lost and whatever, but for various reasons, where we didn't want to be criticized, when we didn't want, you know, to them think something of us or we're too religious or whatever, I've talked to them about everything. Catch you alongside the road, talk to them about the weather, talk to them about the farming, talk to them about all those things, and then when I'd leave, I rebuke myself and say, Lord, forgive me because I never said a thing about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I'm the only one, but I ask you, have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Have we been faithful? Now, Jesus Christ said, and I know He was talking here to the 11 and so forth, but that's where men hide behind those things when Jesus Christ said, go ye. Now, I believe the commission, and I'll get to it in a moment, is given to the Lord's church. But who makes up the Lord's church? We do. And brethren, we are responsible to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe, as our brother said, some of our preachers, and me, I'll include, that we are failing to do that which we have been commissioned to do. Many churches are doing the same thing. Jesus said, "Go ye," and go into all the world, and preach the gospel for every creature. Now think for a moment, and I'm not trying to be critical, I'm just trying to put a few things before us that maybe you haven't experienced. Don't we kind of pick out? So, that old fellow over there, he's a bum, he's a druggie, he's a alcoholic, he's this and that and so forth. So, we don't say that to him. Oh, now that fella, he's got a little more understanding. He's a little... And so we might say something to him. I don't think we have an option, really.
Amen.
I believe this is a command.
Amen.
Go ye. He didn't say if you want to.
Yeah.
Go ye into all the world and to preach the gospel. Now, I believe the gospel must be preached. I'll say now, I don't believe that there has been anyone in the past, the present, or the future, there'll be anyone that's ever been or ever shall be saved without hearing the gospel
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'll try to bring that out in just a moment. The gospel must be preached. Isn't that what Jesus said for us to do? Go ye. I believe this is for us today. I don't believe it was just for the 11. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I know everyone, this is what we're reviewing, and I'll mention later, but we're all about preachers. I know we're not all preachers. Lest I forget it, there was a lady called me, member of church, and she said, "This young person is concerned about their salvation. Would you come here and tell them how to be saved?" So I'm on my way. But if we've been saved by the grace of God, can we not tell someone else what Jesus Christ has done for us?
Amen.
You know well what we always use in Matthew chapter 28. When Jesus Christ spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me, heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, because of that, and teach all nations." That's to disciple all nations. People must be saved first. This is what I had reference to earlier. You baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, brother, that's what He commissioned the church. And then teaching them the old things whatsoever I command to you, and lo, am I with you always. But I believe a lot of churches, a lot of preachers, have got the thing kind of turned around, and we're trying to teach them the old things before they're ever saved.
Amen. Yeah.
We need to preach the gospel unto them, that the blessed Holy Spirit would be pleased, and He never works outside of the Word of God. He would take the Word of God to that heart that He has prepared, as we heard the other night, limiting these things has already been preached, and that individual will be brought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the church has the responsibility. The church then is to baptize that individual upon that profession of faith, and then we are to teach them the all things whatsoever God has commanded. But let us never forget that that individual does not, in his natural condition, understand the things of the Spirit of God. Don't you remember? I mean, I do. I can step this ear and that ear, and then I didn't. When these individuals say, and I've heard some of the preachers say, "Well, now you, this individual, you must know this and know this and know this." I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't be saved this morning if that was so, because I was like a fence post or a box of rocks. Man, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know what Lex connection was, never heard of it. I went to Sunday school off and on and whatever, and I knew about Jesus Christ and so forth, but I did not know these things that some of the preachers are sort of demanding that we that an individual know before they are saved. They don't have the capacity to do that. I didn't know anything. And when the Lord saved me, all I knew, I was lost, and Jesus Christ was the Savior. That's all I knew.
Amen.
You know, the Apostle Paul said, and you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 3, when he said, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost." Think about it. We keep our mouths shut. We don't tell them about the blessed Savior. How do they even know? I thought the other night, Brother Shorterbait was talking about Philip and that eunuch. Do you understand the things that thou readest? How can I, except some man guide you? How can I? And Philip began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel." I believe Paul understood that no person would be saved without hearing about Jesus Christ and what He's done. The blessed gospels we'll get to. I believe Paul knew that. And Paul said, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." I wish that I and a lot of us preachers would realize that. We get so involved in the things of the world, and we get so involved in those things, and we forget. Maybe I'm not saying that any certain preacher like Brother Mark. I know Brother Mark preaches the gospel. And I understand our churches, you know, as a whole does. But I have witnessed, and I thank God for Brother Horn, because he don't do that. But we have so many that have got so involved in the things of this old world, I believe they have let down the very barrier, if it be, that we need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unto a lost and dying world.
Right.
I know we can't save them. I know we don't know who the elect are. I know those things. But our commission is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When Jesus Christ was going to ascend back, and He said, "You shall be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." I believe that. But you know what I do believe? And you can take your own survey. We forgot Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I believe in foreign missions. Brother Mark knows this. I believe in foreign missions probably as much as anyone. I love those brethren. Oh, we met one of them that's in the Philippines. But we love those brethren. And we do try to support them as churches and so forth. I have no problem with foreign missions. But always tried to teach the church there's more to mission than just throwing a dollar or a nickel or whatever in the box and say, "We're going to send that to the mission and we're missionary Baptists." I don't believe that.
Right.
United States of America has become the greatest mission field that there is today. You may not agree with that. But we have so many cults, we have so many things that's going, so many false religions. And I heard on the radio, and it kind of made me think for a moment, there was a foreigner. I don't know, I didn't listen to the whole thing, don't know who he was, but he had that foreign accent and everything, was preaching on the radio here in the United States of America. I heard some of Brother Salaka and some of them say, "One of these days, those brothers might be over here as missionaries."
Amen.
Now what's that? Does that make us brag on ourselves? I believe, brethren, that we ought to start in the community where we are, and we ought to preach the gospel to every creature.
Yeah.
And we have the opportunity, we have all the facilities to do so. But the gospel must be preached. We said, why preach the gospel? Well, I believe again it was Brother Short that quoted Romans chapter 1, verse 16, when the Apostle Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. Now, I want you to note in that verse that Paul said that the gospel, was the power of God unto salvation. Now, you're saying all that for? We know those things. Well, I don't know about up here, but down home, Brother Mark knows what I'm talking about. We have some brethren now have went back to the old priesthood. I mean, that's what it is. They don't admit it that, but that's what it is. And they are saying that unless you hear the gospel from a Baptist preacher, a person cannot be saved. That's not so, brother. The power is not in the man. The power is in the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
I understand, and I'm not taking away, and that's what I get accused of. I'm not taking away from the ministry. I'm not taking it. God, by His grace, has called us to preach the gospel. Yeah. We didn't do it ourselves. And us men, has already been brought out this week, that us men don't have anything in ourselves that we can save anyone.
Amen.
The power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is the power of God unto salvation.
Yeah.
Now, brethren, when we look at, I thank God that there are churches, and we get picked on because we're small, and boy, we're really getting picked on down up there at Johnstown. Brother Horn, you know, he's got that rhino hide. I mean, because here lately, and I'm not trying to make fun. I just want to make application here where you can understand. We sit in the midst of quite a few so-called churches. They're Baptist churches. Missionary Baptists. That's what's on the sign. I have some of the history back in when those associations and so forth. And those churches, they believed, some of them then to a certain point, in the doctrines of grace. Today, if you preach the doctrines of grace, election, predestination, so forth, in those churches, they'll get kicked out of the association. We have to pass one on our way to Johnstown. And when I say that we don't need all the programs and the games and the gimmicks, it's a gospel. I heard someone say that we now, our churches so-called, are asking the outsiders. They're asking the lost people, what can we do for you? Now, brethren, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Oh, if we just get them in, we can get them saved. We can't do nothing.
Amen.
We passed that one particular church, and I'm not making fun of no one. But while they're having their midweek service, many times on their Sunday night services, all the children, young people, are out in their yard playing volleyball. They got their short shorts on. And I said, that's not what those children need. Those children need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We try to give our children everything we can. And I have nothing against that. But brethren, what is it going to be if they win a trophy or whatever they may do and they perish?
Yeah.
Think about it. The greatest thing that mommy and daddy or Sunday school teacher or preacher can give those children is the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter how young they are.
Amen.
Now, when I look back to Brother Horn, we had a visitor. And, you know, if people do things through ignorance, I kind of excuse it. And one of the other ladies, she said, "Well, I'm sure glad that you kept your cool." I don't know why she said that about me. But she came in a long roundabout way. One of the things, she wanted to be a member of the church. The lady may be saved. I don't know that. But Brother Horn told her, he said, "We'll have to check your baptism and so forth." Well, that didn't set off too good. I was baptized and I got her certificate. He said, "Yes, but we may not be able to, you know, to recognize it." Well, come to our Lord's Supper. She wanted to take the Lord's Supper. And he told her, he said, "You can't partake because you're not a member." So she was right there next to us, and she's, "I don't know why, but I can't take the Lord's Supper." And I said, "Well, you're not a member of the body." She said, "I'm a member of the body." I said, "Yes, but not of this body." Well, she got us, she wanted to sing, and he wouldn't let her. But she took this song, it was in an old songbook here, and she asked Sister Horn, "You all sing this song?" And she said, "No." She turned around to me and I said, "What is it?" And she said, "When it had prayer bells in heaven." And I said, "Well, just show me a scripture that there are prayer bells in heaven." She wheeled around and she said, "You people are impossible. I'm going to go to a place that I can worship in spirit and truth." And so she didn't come back for a while. Well, she called Brother Horn this past week, and she came, and he picked her up and brought her. And so she just started talking out, and it's like, "Now I'm going to show you." And so he kept his cool, as I said, and he told me the other day, he said, "Well, if she does it anymore, I'm just going to have to say something to her." Now, I'm telling you all of that because we're looked down upon. We're outcasts. We're narrow-minded. We're whatever because we believe what the Bible says.
Yeah, right.
Or try to. Or I'm not saying we're perfect. But the gospel must be preached because it is the power of God into salvation. If you look there in 1 Corinthians, you know God ordained it that way. In the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, you remember what the Apostle Paul,
right,
what he said? I'm not trying to tell us anything new because I'd like to just, if I could, encourage us that we not forget what we've been commissioned to do.
Yeah.
In first chapter, 1 Corinthians, we know that Paul said in verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribes and where is the spirit of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." Now note, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
I believe God ordained it that way.
Amen.
He takes the worst of the worst, a wretch like me that He saves by His grace, and allows me in my weak way to try to proclaim His word.
Amen.
It's not, brethren, foolish preaching that's going on in the world. It's foolishness unto them. It's but God by the foolishness. It's foolish to this world. It's foolishness. It's foolishness to have a conference when we go to ball games. It's foolishness to those that perish. But unto us, it's the power of God. It's through the foolishness of preaching that God seemed fit to save those that believe. Now, I'm not going to get into it, but this is where, and I just do it as a warning, but how our brethren, they think that about the Baptist preachers. Brethren, there's no one believes any more than I do that God calls us to preach. But I also believe that He uses every one of us that we can tell somebody about Jesus Christ. We may not be ordained preachers. I got in trouble, but you get so close that you'll say, Mommy can't tell her children how to be saved. You'll have to go get a preacher. Mommy, Daddy can tell children how to be saved.
Amen. Amen.
Now, all that said, what is the gospel? What are we to tell sinners? We ought to tell them about the good news.
Yeah.
How Jesus Christ came. And how Jesus Christ suffered and died. How He was resurrected. And He's coming back again. Tell them the good news about His person and His work.
Yeah.
Well, preach the gospel. Oh, I've heard that. Oh, and sometimes now, brethren, I rebuke myself. I have been led or felt led about a subject, and I said, those brethren just preached on that a few weeks ago. Or the Sunday school teacher, he just taught on that a few weeks ago. But I learned not everyone has heard. Yes, the preacher might have preached, but everyone has not heard to the saving of their soul.
Yeah.
There still may be one in our midst that has never heard. And I use myself again as an example. Brother Harry Bonner was saved before I was several years. But I'll tell you something. We all get together, and I've told this many times, but I went to Sunday school that all of us boys would make up the time that we was going to meet to play football and everything in the afternoon and all that.
Yeah.
And really, when I went to church that morning, I had no intention to be saved. We was going to get the time to go play ball. There was one old boy that had never heard, although it had been preached to me over and over and taught in Sunday school class, there was one old boy had never heard.
Amen.
Until October 1958. Let's never think, oh, they've heard. Oh, Brother Mark's preached that so many times. Oh, that's been in the voice, let's never get that, because there's someone they never heard to the saving of their soul. We'll tell them about Jesus Christ's person. In Philippians, I told Brother Chuck yesterday, he said I could have part of his time, and I said, no, I guess what I'm going to have to do is read more scripture instead of misquoting them. So maybe we'll try to do that. In Philippians chapter 2, note what the Apostle Paul says about our Savior. In let's look at verse 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, but took on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get like those preachers I was just talking about, but brethren, we need to tell people who Jesus Christ really is. You know, there's many preachers so-called today that do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. We believe Jesus Christ was fully God. He was fully man. He was the God-man. Yes, we can tell them that Jesus Christ condescended from the portals of glory and all the worship and so forth to come down to this earth, take upon Him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man. But Paul tells us about His purpose and His work that He came in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, yeah. I won't misquote this, I'll read it. But you remember how the Apostle Paul said in the verse 3 of 15 when he said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." How that Christ died for His sins. No, Christ had no sin. See, He was God. He could not have sinned, no matter what these people say.
Amen.
He also received what I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I didn't read verse 1, but Paul said that's the gospel that we preached unto you.
Amen.
And Paul, I believe, I know it was given by the inspiration of God, but Paul believed. Because did he not say that this is a faithful saying and it's worthy of all acceptation? Right. That Christ Jesus came into this world, what? To save sinners, whom I am chief. And I believe, brethren, when an individual... Sure, it's as our brother mentioned the other night, and I thought how wonderful it is to be able to teach or to preach or to witness to an individual that their heart is troubled and they're troubled over their sins. And we know that these that are hardened and then they won't listen and they went out. But there are some that the Holy Spirit may trouble their heart and bring them. And I'll tell you what, every one of us would argue with the Apostle Paul about who was the chief of sinners.
Yeah.
Why? Amen. Because when God showed us what we really were, we're worms. But Jesus Christ has came to save those. Didn't He say in 2 Corinthians 5:21? That He, that God, had made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. That Jesus Christ was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Think about it, brethren. We be made not just righteousness, but the righteousness of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ took my sin upon Himself. God made Him to be sin for me. Can we not tell other people that?
Amen.
Can we not say, look, I'm a young person or old or whatever. I'm not trying to be smart, but I'll tell you what Jesus Christ did for me.
Yeah.
He became sin. He took my sin. He became sin for me. And you may not believe it, but I have the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
You know? What a blessing it is to tell others what Jesus Christ has done for us. You know, Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, because curses that ever was hangeth on a tree. He was made a curse for us because the law says you're guilty. The law says you're under a curse. Jesus Christ became a curse for us. He went to the tree. In Him alone, is forgiveness of sin. tell people. I mean, you know, we don't have to preach a sermon. In Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. And what, verse 7? In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Yeah, I've been hesitant many times. Many times, as I said, I went off and wished I'd said what I'm saying to us. Let us not forget. We've heard all these good messages. But let us don't forget what we've been commissioned.
Yeah.
Tell the world what Jesus Christ has done for us.
Sure.
Let's look at a couple more scriptures here, and I won't keep you forever. But in, go over, if you will, to 1 Peter with me. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24.
Yeah.
Who His own self, Jesus Christ, He bare our sins. He bare my sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Chapter 3 and verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Amen.
I could say, lost sinner, that's what Jesus did for me. That's the gospel, brethren. How that Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures, and how He was buried, how He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It doesn't have to be. I don't, and you maybe misunderstand, but I don't think it has to be from a man standing in the pulpit.
Amen.
I think that we can tell others, here's what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
And then when that preacher gets in the pulpit, and by the power of God, he brings forth that message of Jesus Christ, I say, thank God. That's what I believe.
Amen.
We also, we could look at many verses, but we know that Peter said we were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, traditions of our fathers, what? But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There, John in Revelation chapter 1, he said, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. There is, lost person, there is no salvation outside of the person and the work, the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is not. Yes, He was buried. On the third day, He rose victorious. He's alive. And Paul said in Romans 5:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I love one more thing. His blood cleansed me from all sin.
Amen. Yeah.
How I have sinned since I have been saved. I never was good, and I'm still not good. But He says He's faithful and just. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. He's faithful. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, what, verse 7? That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It keeps right on cleansing. But you know the gospel must be believed. You say, yeah, I know Jesus Christ came to this earth and I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, but do you believe it to the saving of your soul? Do you believe it? When Jesus Christ went forth in His earthly ministry, He said, repent, ye, and believe what? The gospel. You just don't believe anything. You must believe about, just not about, but believe in and through the person of Jesus Christ. What He did. Not what I done, but what He did. Abraham believed, and his faith was counted to him for righteousness. But I believe in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, I believe the gospel is really preached to. Because you remember when he said, you take your son, your only son. Now there's a lot of application we won't get into. But you take your son, your only son, and you take him and you're offering him, you know, for sin, paraphrasing. Isaac said, well, Father, here's the fire and the wood, but where's the sacrifice? He said, my son, God will provide himself.
Amen.
A sacrifice.
Amen.
Took me a long time to see that. He just didn't provide that ram caught in the thicket. That was the type.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, fully God, God provided himself in the person of his son. And I believe that was really, really preached the gospel unto him. Now, a couple of things I want to mention that we must believe. A lot of our brethren will get maybe election. I don't know who the elect are. You don't either. But Paul said this, and this is what I want you to get with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul said, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, election is not salvation. Election is unto salvation.
Amen.
And so therefore, Paul said, whereunto he called you by our gospel.
Yeah.
To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, God chose. And I believe every one of those he chose is going to be saved. But they're not going to be saved without the hearing the basic gospel. Now I know that, like it was with Philip, God will provide. I understand all that. But we have a responsibility. We need to tell him. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, we won't turn there, but he said that his gospel came into him power, not the Holy Spirit. We know all, but see, the gospel must be preached. The gospel must be proclaimed. And in Ephesians chapter 1:13, Paul said, and it was the gospel of your salvation. There was a time, every one of us is saved, there was a time that it became real to us.
Yeah.
There was a time, as I said earlier, it went in this ear and out this and was going somewhere else. But thanks be to God, I heard the gospel.
Yeah.
I knew about Jesus Christ, but I hadn't brought to the point to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text said, he that believeth and is baptized, that's obedience in the belief, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Do you believe? Paul said, and I'll not read these, but Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9, you know, the Galatian churches were mixed up about the gospel. And they were saying, you must be circumcised. You must be. And we got a lot today in so-called churches that are telling people, well, yes, Jesus Christ did this, but you have to do this. You have to. No, it's all in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Paul said they have another gospel. He said, but which is not another. There's only one gospel. Because there's only one, as Acts 4:12 says, that neither is there salvation in any other. But there's no other name given under heaven or among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one gospel. The true gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to close, if you'll turn to Romans chapter 10. And I'd ask you, I ask myself this, what's our desire today? Our brother just mentioned about when those that are saved. They're at Johnstown here just that. I don't know, Brother Mark, I don't know about time either. But maybe it's a couple months now. He had a man, a young man, he started coming to church, his wife. He's relatives to some of the members, but they came. Called Brother Horn, and they said, every one of the messages and the lessons has been pointed right at me. He said, I've been an alcoholic since I was 14 years old. And I don't know move. He's in his late 30s or whatever now. I don't know. But anyhow, he said, I've been an alcoholic. And he came for a few services, and he was troubled. And one night after services, he stayed. He talked to Brother Pete. Pete explained to him the gospel and the way of salvation. He made a profession of faith.
Amen.
A week or two later, his wife stayed after services and was troubled. Talked to Brother Pete. She made a profession of faith, and both of them were baptized and are now members of the church.
Praise the Lord God.
Now, who would have picked an alcoholic? I don't think we would. We look for the other side.
Yeah.
But thanks be to God, He don't choose like you and I. But what is our desire? Paul said in Romans chapter 10, you know well, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Yes, some of us have prayed for family members, for friends, and we've never seen any results. But don't quit. I pray that God would increase my desire. And my prayer to Him is that He might save. Paul goes on to tell about what condition that his Israel Jewish brethren were in. But he tells us in verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him? Now note this. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard?
Yeah.
And how shall they hear without a preacher? And verse 17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My encouragement to all of us here this morning, that God may find us, even today, faithful in our desire for the salvation of others, praying that God would be pleased to save them, but find us giving Him the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ. My encouragement to you this morning, let us be faithful. Preach the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
You know, when Paul first went into Corinth, he told him, when I came in among you, I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ. And the reason for that was he went into a land that never heard about Jesus Christ. So naturally, they needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I appreciate that message, Brother Tom. I appreciate you. You bringing it to us this morning, because Brother Chuck and I actually was talking about that the other day. Not the gospel directly, but how it's so easy for us to get caught up in a tangent on teaching something. You know, something is so important, we feel so important that we get caught up in it. It sort of becomes a theme with us, and all of a sudden we catch ourselves realizing, you know, I'm really hitting this too much. You know, go back off a little bit. And I think we need to continually remember to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one here this morning that has heard the gospel, just like Brother Tom has been talking about, not just to hearing it through the ears, but hearing it in the heart. And it has broken your heart, and you are of a contrite heart, and you know that that sin is laying upon you, and you're going to have to answer for it. Well, there's only one that can take away that sin, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who's able to do it. The only one. We've come to the conclusion of our service for the weekend. And Brother Ernest was supposed to preach the third message. He's not here. We miss him very much.
Amen.
I'm full spiritually this morning. Still just a little vacant place there because he's not at the house. He hadn't been with me this weekend. He hadn't been here, you know. He would have been an encouragement to me down through the years. Anyone have anything they want to say?
I do, Mark. Yeah. Mark, I just want to thank the Lord for the cloud of confidence. And Mark, I want to thank you for saving my soul 28 years ago.
Amen.
Down for my sins.
Amen.
And I just want to thank you for all my friends, I fellowship friends, thank you for the churches. And that's what I'm going to say.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? Any announcements anybody wants to make before we close? Any other prayer requests? Anything at all? We're not going to tarry. We're going to have one more song and then we're going to close. We have dinner prepared. And want everybody to stay and eat with us. And fellowship as long as you want to, you know, out there. Amen. Can you tell us something about...
I think he's got a little bit of infection or something in his legs. They're trying to get it taken care of.
An infection?
Yeah, an infection in his legs.
Is that what was his problem Friday night, too?
I believe so, too.
Yeah, they call it cellulitis.
Okay, I know what it is. I know what it is.
Back to the hospital this morning, back to Clarksburg. Let's remember him.
Amen. Randy, you have a song?
286.
As we sing this song, let's pass around. Let's have fellowship service. And especially, I want you to let Brother Tom and Brother Chuck know how much you appreciated those messages, because I truly was blessed in those messages this morning. And our visitors, especially the church here, the members of Unity and Desi, let's let our visitors know how much we appreciate them, too. I really appreciate the visitors and staying over and being with us today. Great encouragement to us.
Amen.
Okay? Let's sing.